as we bow in adoration. Let your anointing.
As we declare your name, Lord Jesus, as the holy name who saves, may the power of your salvation fill it up, we pray. Lord, we worship you.
Father, we want to thank you again for your tangible presence in our midst. We're grateful. As we go into the Word, we ask that that same tangible presence go with us to open the Scriptures. Anoint me afresh. Help me speak as I should, as an oracle of God. Let your Word flow freely from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in each of our hearts, including my own, to cause in our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Further pray that as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit be released in great and sufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men, so that they will become doers of the things that they hear and are hearers only. I further pray for mercy to deliver the word with precision, redeeming the time, saying only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me receiving every blessing I mentioned in their individual lives, all agreed individually and said, I have an important prophetic present truth prosperity message, and I will explain to you why I was instructed to share it today. It is called Shemitah prosperity. The actual word is Shemitah, which is Shemittah. It's a Hebrew word. It means to release. But it's pronounced Shemitah. They don't pronounce the S, so we don't say Shemitah, it's Shemitah. That's how they pronounce it in Israel. This year, 2021, is a Shemitah year. The last Shemitah year was 2014. This is of great prophetic significance, that the last Shemitah year was also a blood moon. For those of you who remember, I taught at that time about this. The blood moons is when there is an eclipse of the sun and the moon. So the moon looks, you know, red. That's why they call it a blood moon. It happens only a few times every century. And it coincides directly with the Jewish feasts. The last Shemitah, which was 2014, there was a blood moon that corresponded to the Feast of Passover. That very day was when the Boko Haram people went to pick up the kidnap the girls in Chibok. And God made it something that was all over the globe. I will explain the significance of that in a minute and then come to what I'm talking about today. The next September, which was September, October, which was the Feast of Tabernacles, there was another blood moon. It rarely happens like that. But that last Shemitah year, the blood moons corresponded exactly with the feasts. Feast of Tabernacles, sorry, Feast of Passover, and it's just 6 months between them, and then there was the Feast of Tabernacles. It was four of them over a two-year cycle. Then there was another blood moon in Passover 2015. And then there was another blood moon in Tabernacles 2015. I remember it exactly because the last blood moon on that day was the day we named my first granddaughter, Zoeasta. I can't forget it. We used a hotel, you know, to do the naming ceremony in Santa Clara in California, you know. And I remember coming out and looking at the moon. Of course, I knew it was coming, you know. It was very significant to me. And I have never forgotten it. And I said, God, what meaneth all this? And the Lord said to me that the blood moons signified an increase in the intensity of the spiritual warfare in the earth, and in particular over Nigeria. For those who do not know, Nigeria is a prophetic nation. All nations are prophetic, really. But Nigeria is particularly so because Nigeria is described in the Bible in a way that you cannot miss it. The nation beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, so it's not Ethiopia, but beyond Sub-Sahara, which the rivers divide, all nations have rivers, but Nigeria is the only nation that the river Benue and river Niger divide exactly into north and south, given by Lord Lugard. And so that you don't miss it, the nation is named after the river Niger. So Nigeria is the area around the Niger. That's where we get the name Nigeria from. It's a derivative of that. So that there will be no mistaking about it when the time came, and that time has come now, and people will be able to recognize it prophetically. Furthermore, if you look at the history of the church in Nigeria, the evangelical church in Nigeria grew by leaps and bounds. I remember the year 1981. There was a statistic back then. Nigeria overtook America as the nation that had the greatest number of evangelical Christian students. Because I was invited to preach and teach at a meeting, I think it was organized by one of my friends, Bozan and Rosiola. You know, it was in the cafeteria opposite Sultan Bello Hall. I still remember it. You know, I was one of the speakers. You know, I was asked to come and share. You know, and that statistic, it was fresh then. Nigeria had overtaken America in the number of evangelical Christian students. You know, and in terms of, you know, evangelism and all of that, Nigeria was coming up in terms of the number of Christian students who were evangelical. America used to be first, but Nigeria overtook it. And Nigeria has been very strategic in God's end time plan. While Nigeria suffered and has suffered and still suffering to some degree, you know, politically and in recent times economically, at that time Nigeria was one of the richest countries in the world. The amount of money we were getting from oil was so much, you know. It's one of the tragedies of history that majority of that money was wasted. Nigeria was the trajectory of the nation was supposed to have gone up in terms of the economy, in terms of money, you know, and the great things. I still remember as a young man in my teenage years, when I was 17, 18, 19, you know, when I would go to England on summer holidays, if you entered a shop on Bond Street or Oxford Street, I still remember, once you say you are Nigerian, they leave everybody else and come and meet you. Oh, well, you're from Nigeria. What do you want, sir? Because Nigerians spent money. £1,000 was 1,000 naira. It was 1 naira to £1 and 1 naira to $1.5. It looks impossible to you now. I remember as a young man, you know, my parents, you know, when they would allow me, my first year, they didn't allow me to go to England. I still remember feeling so bad about it. When I was in prelim, during the summer holiday, my stepfather, Justice Bakare of blessed memory, said, "You come and work as a clerk in the High Court of Lagos." You know, I think the second year, because he was friends with Adebowale Electricals, the guy who owned it, they put me and said, "I should go and work in the factory in Isheri." You know, where they were making thermocool, and sometimes I'll be soldering things. I said, "I want to go to London." I said, "You're not going to any London. Stay here." They were doing something which I got blessed by. I didn't understand at the time. They said, "We want you to know how life is." So I didn't go until my second year. They said, "Okay, now you can go." So my stepfather gave me money. My dad gave me 500 naira. You know, my stepfather, I think he gave me £300 or something. I can't remember exactly. You know, my Uncle Femi, who was still alive then, who was here in Ibadan, he gave me 500. I think Uncle Bolaji too gave me. I went to England with about £2,000. 17-year-old. I was just going from shop to shop. Anyway, the point is Nigeria was doing well. That money, I said this here on this platform, and I think I said it also privately to some of the brethren. You know, the first time I went to Dubai, I wept. As the plane was entering Dubai like this, and I look, I just started crying. I'm not one for emotion. You know what? I said, this is what Nigeria should have been. Qatar Airlines only started in 1994. Nigerian Airways, we were going to New York and London with Nigerian Airways in the 70s. If it had been properly managed, we would have, Nigerian Airways today would be better than Emirates or Qatar. I said all of that to say this. Nigeria, a great country that God had put set apart, then he placed the gospel inside Nigeria and raised people like Pa Elton and people like Brother Emiko, who is one of my mentors, and others like that, to bring in the faith message, and the knowledge of God's word began to explode in Nigeria among the young people in the university. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, it was like a wave. It came from University of Ibadan here, then it went to Ife, and went to Unsuka, and went to Ilorin, and all of that. Nigeria was on the move spiritually. Even though, sadly and regrettably, politically, things didn't work out as it should. It was Satan fighting the destiny of this country. And so in 2014, this Shemitah year, there was an increase in the spiritual warfare over Nigeria. Turn with me to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. And we're going to look from verse 26, I believe it is. Yes. Verse 25. This describes the blood moons I was speaking about. "And there shall be signs," I didn't hear you, "in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations, with perplexity. The sea and the waves roaring. That's exactly what happened. As the warfare intensified, spiritual warfare now, the Bible says, and there was war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought, and the devil and his angels fought, Revelation chapter 12. As we began to pray, and we were praying in tongues and groanings, we were bombarding the spiritual heavenlies. So some of those spirits that were being dislodged from their positions in the heavenlies were falling to the earth. But they were now bringing distress to the nations. Who would ever think that anybody could go to a secondary school and pick up 300 girls in the middle of the night? And the focus was Nigeria. It happened in other places too, but this one that happened, the whole world. Michelle Obama was first lady, then everybody, bring back our girls, bring back our girls. God made it something, the whole world, a hashtag. Because God was trying to pass a message across that warfare over Nigeria in particular, and all the nations also in general, you know, had intensified, and Satan was working to try and stop the purpose and the plan of God. And it was a wake-up call to the church. I, by the grace and the mercy of God, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me, I was aware of what was going on. And, you know, we were mobilizing the church and everybody, and we were fasting and we were praying and we were doing all of those things. You know, and the Bible says here, it says, men's hearts failing them for fear, looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers, the word powers there is just the dunamis. It's talking about these principalities and powers of the heaven. They'll be shaken. They were being shaken and they were dropping to the earth. Another very significant thing happened during these four blood moons. I'm coming to Shemitah here and prosperity in a minute, but I want to give you the prophetic background so that you can know that that's why I call it present truth. It is a prophetic truth that is happening now, presently. It's not something that's going to happen, although some of it is also going to happen because it's prophetic. That's in the immediate future. But all these ones I'm saying, they're already taking place. For the first time, to the amazement of the whole world, it was the year 2015. It was still during this blood moon time. Something happened that amazed all of us. The American Supreme Court passed a judgment legalizing gay marriage. What? America? The city on a hill. The constitution of which says, we the people. Believe that all men are created equal and have a right to the pursuit of happiness. A constitution that is based on the Bible. I cannot forget when my son, Joshua Lubi, we took him to military school for 1 year in America because he did his A-levels in 1 year through what we call the early decision program, you know, and by the grace of God, he did very well. He had 4 A's. So we just said, look, you this 1 year just to give you exposure. And it was very good for him. You know, so he was in a place called Fork Union, which is in Virginia, which is very close to Richmond. Richmond is the capital of Virginia. And that was where the Confederacy, when the American Civil War happened, it was there. So I used to, you know, I used to go and see him at, you know, open days and all that. My wife and I sometimes would go, you know, and I would drive around. I would go to all the tourist spots. There's a church in Virginia, which is called St. John's Church. That church was there in 1775. And they had a meeting in that church. That was what started the American War of Independence and got their independence from Britain. Because America was a colony of Britain. The British king began to tax them, you know, as they get Boston Tea Party. He began to tax the tea tax. You know, they were already paying a lot, and they just felt under oppression. You know, but a lot of people were, you know, they were afraid. George Washington, you know, Thomas Jefferson and others. There was a meeting in the church. One man stood up. His name is Ed Henry, if I remember rightly. He said, "You guys know nothing at all." He said, "There is nothing we will do to pacify this king of England. And if we are afraid to fight, we are going to be his slaves forever." I'm paraphrasing. You know what he said? He said, "Give me liberty or give me death. Give me liberty or give me death." And that was the spirit that picked up in that crowd. George Washington, everybody said, "Okay." And then they decided they were going to declare independence no matter what the British government did. And of course, there was the war, and they won. By the grace and the mercy of God. By the providence of God. There is a town in America called Providence. To show you, that same America passed a law of an abomination. It was those powers that were shaken in the heavens that came to the earth. I can never forget President Obama. In his first term, they said, "What's marriage?" He said, "It's between a man and a woman." Said, "That's what I believe." Then when he was now going second term, which was around this 2015 time, you know, his second term, they asked him. He said his thinking has been evolving. I'm showing you signs. We are in this shaking of the nations, distress of nations, particularly the nations that are spiritually significant. The US is, Nigeria is, the UK is, others too, but you know, if you're looking at the spearhead of the born-again evangelical Pentecostal church, you find them in those three nations. From there, they spread to other places of the earth, but that's where you find it. And that is why they were the arrowhead of Satan's attack, and still are. I'm coming to Shemitah here in a minute. And that 2014-2015 was a Shemitah year with the blood. 2014 was a Shemitah year with the blood moons. We are now this is where it is prophetic. How many years between 2014 and 2021? Seven. Give the Lord a clap offering. Seven. The Shemitah years occurred every 7 years. And there was a reason for it. I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. I'm going to give you scripture in a minute. You know, and God instituted the principle of the Shemitah year to eradicate poverty from Israel. That was the purpose. Turn me to Deuteronomy chapter 15. Deuteronomy chapter 15. And look at verse 1. I'm going to read from verses 1 through 4. And then I'll look at verse 14, chapter 14 too. I just want to bring out a principle here. It says, "And at the end of every 7 years," I didn't hear you, "thou shalt make a release." That word release in the Hebrew is Shemitah. Is Shemit, they pronounce it Shemitah. That word release. It means letting drop of exactations, remitting, releasing. You know, it's part where we get the word remit. You know, okay, I forgive your debt. You know, debt forgiveness. Every 7 years, thou shalt make a Shemitah. That's the Hebrew. Shemitah. They pronounce it Shemitah. They don't say Shemitah. You know, I learned that from some Hebrew scholars. You know, so this is where it comes from. And this is the manner, I didn't hear you, of the release or the Shemitah. Every creditor that lendeth aught unto his neighbor shall release it. He shall not exact of his neighbor or of his brother, because it is called the Lord's release or the Lord's Shemitah. Of a foreigner thou may exact it again, But that which is thine with thy brother, thine hand shall release it. This is how God planned to keep the wealth within Israel. I'm getting ahead of myself, but you must understand that there were certain promises God made to Israel that were so wonderful that you wonder, how is that going to be? You know what God said? He said, you will lend to nations, you will not borrow. It is sad that because of the disobedience of the kings of Israel, in particular, and I must say this, and I say it with, I don't say it with any joy, I say it, you know, because it's sad, God was not happy about it, Solomon. If there's somebody who would have fulfilled this, it would have been Solomon. Had Solomon towed the line of righteousness and didn't indulge in all this rubbish that he did, what do you want to do with 300 wives for God's sake? And 700 concubines. Everything God said they shouldn't do, Solomon broke every law. Because when you have a king, he said, when he sits on his throne, he said, he will not multiply gold. He will not multiply silver. He will not multiply wives to himself. Solomon broke all those laws. But had Solomon kept those laws and now kept the Shemitah thing, by the end of Solomon's reign, there would have been no poor in Israel. Israel would have been so powerful financially that all the nations around her will never make war with her. You know why? She'll be giving them money. She'll give money to Syria. And money to Egypt. And money. That's what God wanted. He wanted the nations around to be so in awe of Israel that they would come, like by the Queen of Sheba. And when the Queen of Sheba came, she heard about Solomon from, you know, Ethiopia. And came all, made that long journey. When she got there and she saw the wealth of Solomon, heard his wisdom, he said there was no more spirit in her. You know what she said? She said, I have heard. He said, but, you know, and I did not believe. He said, but when I now came, you know, and I saw it, he said, the half has not yet been told. God was trying to use Israel and the temple of Solomon as a showpiece to the ancient world that would have brought all the nations to Israel and made proselytes of all of them. It would then have been very easy for, you know, when the Messiah came, it would for the Gentiles just to flow. That was the plan. It was scuttled by Solomon and many of the kings that followed him. It was after Solomon, the kingdom divided into two because of Rehoboam, you know, and then Jeroboam, and you know the rest of the sad story. But this was the plan. But the good news is that in Christ Jesus now, we can rectify it. And we are going to. Save, verse 4. Save when there shall be no poor among you. Can you believe this? You know, there are some scriptures that are difficult to believe. This is one of them. Save that there shall be no poor among you. For the Lord shall greatly bless thee. I think some of you thought that I just read that the Lord shall, you know, bless you in a small way. You know, God does not use words carelessly. For the Lord shall greatly bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it. Verse 5, which is why it didn't happen in Israel. And now it's going to happen with us, the glorious church. Only if thou carefully hearken to the voice of the Lord. See, it's conditional. That's why it didn't. The highest we got to in Israel was David and Solomon. From that time on, Jehoshaphat too had some money, but nothing like Solomon. You know? And they didn't fulfill this scripture. But because we are the seed of Abraham through Jesus Christ, watch this. And we are a glorious church. We are destined and we are being prepared now to be a glorious church, having no spot, blemish, wrinkle, or any such thing. That condition will automatically be fulfilled. So what Israel did not do, the church will now do. Hence this prophetic message. That's why I call it Shemitah prosperity. That verse 4, I want you to look at it in the New International Version. It's very interesting. However, there need be no poor people among you. You see the language, see the way the Holy Spirit is. In other words, there should, even in the church, there should be any poor among us. They are poor among us, but they should not be. However, I didn't hear you. There should be no poor among you. For in the land, the Lord your God is giving you to possess as your inheritance. That's the perfection and the fullness of Christ. He will what? Richly bless you. We are now in the Shemitah year after the warfare intensified. I have a good announcement to make. We're winning the war. Give the Lord a clap offering. We are actually prevailing over Satan and his principalities in the heavenly places. We are getting revelation that they never dreamt we could get. The armor of love. The whole armor of God. Perfecting the love of God. Praying in the Spirit with all kinds of prayer. The life of God. Things that principalities and powers tried to hide for us for millennia and centuries. But the Holy Spirit has now opened it up to us. The church, not the whole church, but the Zion church, particularly here beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, you know, is now putting all those principles into practice. Prevailing over Satan and his guys in the heavenly places. So the time for the fulfillment of this Shemitah prosperity is upon us. It's coming with this spiritual victory in spiritual warfare over the heavenlies. And Nigeria is going to be one of the first nations to be a beneficiary. It won't be the only, but it's going to be one. When you look at the Nigerian situation now, it looks hopeless. In the natural. The corruption, you know, the politicians have no ideology. See how they are switching from party to party. No names mentioned. See, I mean, you'll be shocked. Don't these people even have any integrity? Everybody just wants what they can eat. And they tell you in this party, if you come to our party, all your sins are forgiven. And once you come, they will give you something else to eat. So the guy will leave that party and join this party. Now, some are joining, you know, are changing for integrity because they want to do the work. And, you know, they'll just use whichever platform is available for them, you know. But some, it's just for the money. But I got good news for y'all that's going to change. You know why? The church is now ruling from the heavens. Like God told Nebuchadnezzar through Daniel, that you will know that the heavens do rule. I just got another word. This is not in my notes. It's just flicked to me now. Do you know how many times passed over Nebuchadnezzar? 7. It was 7 years. He was in the wilderness eating like an animal. And the Bible says, 7 times shall pass over thee till thou knowest that the heavens do rule and God gives it to anyone that he wants. That is going to happen now. We're not going to run for political office. We're too busy. You didn't hear me. I'm too busy. My wife and I and the pastors, we're too busy. We're too busy praying. I don't have time to become president and all of that, but we will put who will be there. By the Spirit. I got another word for you. then we will remove the one we want to remove. Exactly like Daniel. I remember many years ago when President Obasanjo became president. My wife wrote him a letter. We called it from the Daniel Company. Because she came to ask me, said, "Honey, can I go?" I said, "Yeah." But I said, "But let it be anonymous, you know." I said, "We God through us, we prayed to get you into power. Please go in the way of righteousness, because we can also pray to remove you from power. It's going to happen now." If politicians have never been afraid, they need to be afraid now. Because this is not man, it's God. See, Nebuchadnezzar was one of the most wicked, even though he had a part of his heart that was good, actually. But he was a very impulsive man. Not only that, he was proud and he was an oppressor. But he had next to him a Daniel who knew the God of heaven. And you know, it's very interesting, and this should encourage everybody, all of us here that are praying people, particularly all those who are in good mornings and all that, be encouraged. God does not work by numbers. He needs some number, but he just needs a small critical mass. Daniel, it was just Daniel, basically. And then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We don't read of anybody else. Yet, they were able to determine what happens in an empire. So, be encouraged. Our prayers are not in vain. And that bombardment, you know, it increased. It has always been there. But it increased 7 years ago, and we saw the effect. And as we continue to pray now, we are now going to see the manifestation of the Shemitah year and the manifestation of the sons of God. We will be too busy to go and become president. You know, we don't have time for that, because we're not going to reduce our prayer time. But we will be able to pray righteous people into office and remove unrighteous ones. Job 34, which I've shared here before. So, let's get back to the Shemitah here. It says here that God said there should be no poor among you. How can that be? I'll explain. Look, just go one chapter back and go to Deuteronomy chapter 14 and look at verses 28 and 29. This is one of the reasons why we should pay our tithes. You know? Let's read from verse 27. "And the Levite that is within thy gates, thou shalt not forsake him." Today, that will correspond to people who are in full-time ministry, who are not working like other people work to get money. You know, they're not in business, or they're not, you know, in secular employment. Not everybody's like that, but some are like that. You know? He said, "You will not forsake him, for he has no part or inheritance with thee. At the end of 3 years, thou shalt bring forth the tithe of thine increase the same year, and thou shalt lay it up within thy gates. And the Levite, because he had no part or inheritance with thee, and the stranger," and that's why we take out of the tithes and offerings and we help the poor, and we help the fatherless, and we help the widow. We do that a lot in this church, though I do it quietly. You know? "And the widow, which is within thy gates, shall come, and they will eat, and they will be satisfied, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hand that thou doest." When you put these two things together, what you see is this. God arranged a system inside Israel whereby if the people, and notice this if, conditional, if they paid their tithes as an at when due and offerings, so that there will be an abundance for the Levites, so that they will not be distracted from their work in the tabernacle and in the temple, and there are an abundance for the fatherless and for the widow, God will so bless them that it will eradicate poverty from the land. How? Shemitah year. This was God's plan. And we read it in, where are you? Look at, let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 15 now. And then we're going to look at verses 7 to 9. This is the plan. Now, this is Old Testament, but we're supposed to now do this now as God is blessing us. You know, I'm getting ahead of myself. You know, something happened to my wife and I. It's a little bit private, so I'm not going to go into the details. But my wife will know exactly what I'm talking about. This year, just a few weeks, about a week ago, not long at all, we call it a pleasant surprise. There was a particular thing we were paying money for, and God supernaturally provided, and that whole thing was just wiped off. Then the Lord reminded me, he said, you're in a Shemitah year. There are a lot of things that are hanging in your lives now, between now and the end of the year and into 2022, because the Shemitah year goes from September, because we're now in the new year, the Jewish new year, starting from the Feast of Trumpets, which was September 7th. Between now and September next year, a lot of debts are going to be completely released. A lot of financial burden is going to disappear. Something you won't even know. Some people just come at me and say, it's gone. Others, there'll just be great financial provision. You'll be able to wipe out all your debts because you're in a Shemitah year. It's a year of... So we already have the sign. It has already started. Now, verse 7 to 9. If there be among you a poor man of one of thy brethren within any of thy gates in thy land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden your heart, nor shut up thine hand from thy poor brother, but thou shalt open thy hand. This is where the Yoruba get king or lawo. You know, in our language, that means you open-handed. You know, it means you're generous. Thou shalt open thy hand wide. I didn't hear you. Efe lawo ni, eka. Let's go to verse 8 again. I want everybody to read it. I want all diwat. I want all lawo mwaka. In other words, those who are stingy and those who are generous, I want all of us to read it. Because the stingy will now be converted to generosity. Because you will have what you say. So open your mouth. Say, but thou shalt open thy hand wide unto him, and thou shalt surely lend him sufficient for his need which he wanted. This is how God eradicates poverty. Next verse. Beware that there not be a thought in thy wicked heart. God knows your number. Say, the seventh, the Shemitah year, the year of release is at hand. In other words, let's assume that it's the sixth year, or maybe the fifth and a half year. And you now see a brother that you can help. The Bible says you should give him not what he asks you, but what is sufficient. He doesn't put it on him, he puts it on you. So he said, you will now find out what the man needs. Then you will take from what God has given you, and God would have blessed you tremendously. See, the problem of a lack of generosity is not because we don't have, it's because we are greedy and selfish. There's something my wife calls the crab mentality. It's very common, especially among the Yorubas. It's true for everybody, but you know, the Igbos are better than us in that area. Igbos help their brethren. If an Igbo man opens a spare part shop, he will bring his brother from the village. Then he will be helping, you know, that one will be helping him, he will be helping spare part. After about some years, he will now give, and they will contribute money together. That guy now, he will open another shop. That's why when you go to certain places, you don't find all of them. It's because they help each other. The Yoruba man will never do that. I'm correcting that. We are changing in Jesus' name. Jesus is changing us. You know, the Yoruba man will hide the secret of his success from his brother so that he can continue to oppress him. If the guy wants to climb up, you push him down. I remember there was a story. I just remembered this. It's off the bat, but it's a part of the message. Of Chief Obafemi Awolowo. As a young man, he came from a very poor home. He sold firewood and he served a teacher to be able to go to school. But he was brilliant. So he did very well and he got an admission to go and study law in England. But he couldn't afford it. So he wrote, I'm not going to mention the name, he wrote a very rich man in Yoruba land. He wrote him a letter and begged him to give him the money. And he promised him that when I come back and I start a practice, I will pay that money back within 5 years. This is a true story. The man refused. Crab mentality. It's not good. The man could afford it. He was one of the richest men in Yoruba land at that time. This was in the 1940s. But through providence and the help of people, somehow Awolowo was able to travel. And he went to England and he kept his word. He came back and now he now became premier in 1955, and that man was still there. What would have happened if he had helped him? You don't know that person you help. You don't know what he's going to become tomorrow. Don't have a crab mentality. Don't have a mentality of not helping other people. And don't just help them a little small, sufficient. You know, if somebody needs, for example, if a person needs 1 million naira for his business to really begin to work, and you give him 50,000, you have not helped him. That's why I said, Kolawo, open your hand wide and figure out what will this person really need to get out of the dump, so to speak, to bootstrap, to lift himself up from the boots. So, okay, he will need 5 million. I have 50 million. Why not? Come on, 5 million. Hey, take. But, it's Shmita here. Shmita year is next year. It means that next year, that 5 million is no longer a loan. It's now a woof. That's what God is warning against. He said, take heed that there be not a thought in thy wicked heart. Saying the seventh year, the year of release, the Shemitah year is at hand, and thy eye be evil against thy poor brother, and thou givest him not, and he cry unto the Lord against thee, and it be sin unto thee. Don't your neighbor say, selfishness is sin. Do you see why we are poor? Do you see why they're still poor amongst us? It's this reason. God's plan for old Israel and for new Israel now, the Zion Church, is that, I wrote it down here, through debt cancellation, after every 7 years, after every Shemitah year, and interest-free loans, was his plan to eradicate poverty. And that plan still stands. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 23, verses 19 and 20. Deuteronomy 23, verses 19 and 20. I'm talking about the Shemitah year. Thou shalt not lend. I didn't hear you. Thou shalt not lend upon usury or interest to thy brother usury of money, usury of victuals, or usury of anything that is lent upon usury. Unto the stranger you may lend upon usury, but unto thy brother thou shalt not lend upon usury,
the Lord thy God may bless thee in all that thou settest thy hand to in the land whither thou goest to possess it. God has a plan. You see, once God sees a good heart, a generous heart, and sees you practicing, God will now start working in your circumstances to make sure that you are greatly and richly blessed. So if you have to give 10 people 5 million, God will make sure you get 500 million. Because he knows you are going to use it to bless other people. But if he knows you are going to use it for selfishness, it blocks the blessing. We're going to start closing now. Interest-free credit. There was an interest-free credit. And debt cancellation after every Shemitah year. That is the plan. That's how, by the time, if they had done this, particularly under Solomon's time, there was so much money. The Bible says that, I don't know if you remember your scripture. He says silver was accounted as nothing. You know what caused the problem? Foolishness and selfishness. Where did the money go? I'm talking about Solomon. You know what he did? He spent 7 years building the Lord's house. The Bible records, you know, the Bible is God can be a very interesting person. Things you think God didn't take note of, he takes note of it. He spent 14 years building his own house. Kilode. Not only that, he now brought this stupid girl, God forgive me, the daughter of Pharaoh, and built another house for her. Then he now brought all his different wives from different countries and was building houses for all of them. The abomination of the Zidonians. When I read those things in the Bible, I shake my head. That was where the money went. The money that should have been used to help the people of Israel was using to maintain stupid girls. And you know what they did? They came, built house for them, and then they brought their gods. And they brought their abominations. And the Bible says, and Solomon's heart was turned when he was old, for his wives turned his heart away. It will not be your portion in Jesus' name. Do you see why God is hesitant many times to give us prosperity? The person who is talking nice today or something, once he gets a little bit of money, he won't say hello to you again. Listen, I'm telling you the truth. I've seen it happen. Even amongst us here, God blesses somebody a little, and before you know it, the person starts acting as if, you know, they fell from heaven. They will not remember the people who helped them. You can't talk to them again. It's a terrible thing. And it's a part of the satanic nature in the human heart. That is why he said, I will prosper even as thy soul prospers. God put it there in the New Testament. It was in the Old too. You know, there's a limit to how I can prosper. I will bless you. You have food and raiment, but that's about it. But if you want to come into mega prosperity, then you must have a heart for the poor. Interest-free credit. And debt cancellation. So you give them the money, you know, and if they use it properly and they pay it back, that money as it comes back, you give it to somebody else. So that it becomes a revolving loan. That's God's plan. Imagine, you know, this guy is a billionaire. I'm a billionaire in Jesus' name. I'm a billionaire. Amen. Maybe not liquid cash, but in assets, yes. You know, but the thing is, if we had 10, 50 of us like that, I'm just talking in this local church, 20 of us like that, who had liquid cash, in the billions. Then there are brothers who are, maybe one guy is trying to do one business or the other is trying to say to himself, come, what are you trying to do? You need this, you need that. Okay, no problem. No strings attached. Hey, take this 100 million. Quiet. Take 100 million. And let me have it back after about 2 or 3 years. Let's see what you guys do. And the guy goes, puts 100 million to business. The business prospers and all of that. Within 2 years or 3 years, he brings out, oh, this 100 million is back. I said, oh, thanks. God bless you. Then I'm going to look for somebody else. I look for somebody else in the church who I can help. Then imagine 100 of us do that. 50 of us do that. Within a short time, I just got another text. They're going to shout now. You know, Pastor Bega, they like prosperity. Between now and the next meter cycle, poverty will be eradicated in our midst. In Jesus' name. Shame us all. Shame us all. When I was preaching last week about bread, nobody. No, but seriously, I mean that. Between now and the next meter year, which is going to be 2028, and God will preserve you in Jesus' name, the glorious church would have been in manifestation. The power of God in this local body, there should be no poor amongst us. And that will be reproduced not only in Scripture Pasture, in any other church that will obey the principles. Get rid of poverty. 7 years is enough to get rid of poverty in a local church. It's enough. We recognize that. We identify the people who have needs. We identify where there's something. We give them the money. We monitor them. Not that we sit on their head, but you just make sure that they're using the money properly. You know, let me tell you something, you know. God said this to me and my wife and I, you know, years ago. You know, and we've done a little bit here and there. You know, I've discovered that if you give money to people, they will waste it. Most people don't have discipline. You give me money, the next thing you go and buy a car. It's money you're supposed to put into business. And there's nothing even wrong in buying a car. But that's not the time to go and buy G-Wagon. Pastor Ibrahim is laughing. That's our problem. The guy, you give the guy 100 million, he goes to go and use 80 million to buy G-Wagon. Then you get the main 20 million, now it's not enough for the business. So you know what the Lord told me? He said, find out what they really need. Don't give them the money. Go, oh, you need this equipment, go and buy the equipment. You need this, you need that, you know. And find that, and then give them. Don't give them cash, because if you give them cash, they will waste it. Just give them the things they need. Oh, you need to rent this place. Oh yeah, send me something. We'll pay the rent. Pay the rent. You know, okay. You need office equipment, chair, and all of that. Okay, give me. Go to the place. Let me have something. So I won't pay to you. I'll pay directly to the company that supplies. That way we will be sure the money is being used for what it's supposed to be used for. And the business will actually work. I don't know if I'm talking to anybody here. People don't like this prosperity message again. I'm closing. So, you know what this is going to produce? This is my last scripture on this topic. Is going to produce Psalm 144. You know, I say, God, Shemitah prosperity. It is Shemitah prosperity that we eradicate poverty, not only in the church, but in the land. Then will come to pass that which is written. Psalm 144. Glory to God. And we're going to look from verse 11. I'm going to read from verse 11 to 15. You know, we pray this prayer every Tuesday when we pray for prosperity, you know, on a monthly basis. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children whose mouth speaketh vanity and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. That's why you need the Zion church that is bombarding the heavens and that is ruling from the heavens to remove bad leadership. Observe, you will not have prosperity in any nation so long as you have a corrupt leadership. The reason why many of our nations on the earth, and that's why there's so much problem on the earth now, distress of nations, Even the rich nations now, like America and England, are having financial problems. And the reason is that there is, in some places, corruption in the high places. When there is corruption, it's going to affect the rest of the economy. President Biden, in one of his maiden speeches, was talking about tax. And I believe in tax, though I do not believe in overtaxing. Because if you overtax, you remove incentive. But right on the other hand, if you undertax, then there will not be enough money to help, you know, the infrastructure of a nation. You go to places like England and Europe, you see all the roads, you know, everything is tarred, everything is working. It's because people pay their tax. So that they can use that money to build the road, to maintain it, and make sure it's okay. And he said this. He said, we don't want to overtax corporations. We said, we just want them to pay their fair share. How can a big company, I'm just speaking hypothetically, I'm not saying this is what happened, you know, because I think they pay their taxes. But imagine, you know, big companies that have billions and billions of profit, and then they pay zero tax. Using all kinds of techniques, get a good accountant, and you know how to hide money in the books, and say this one was used for plane, this one was used for president, this one, so it's not taxable. Use legal technicalities, and at the end of the day, you're not paying your tax. It's wrong. Pay your fair share of tax. If it's 15%, pay it. If it's 20%, pay it. So that there will be money in the coffers of the government to be able to have good infrastructure. That is why, again, I must not have an embezzler in government. And now we will remove you by prayer. Rid me.
I didn't hear you.
And deliver me from the hand of stranger whose mouth speaketh vanity. And their right hand is the right hand of falsehood. That our son... Watch the language. Verse 11 is a prerequisite for everything from verse 12 downward. That, in other words, if you don't rid us of strange children, this will not happen. And that's why it hasn't happened. That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth. That our daughters may be as cornerstones polished under the similitude of father. That our garners may be full, affording all manner of store. That our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000 in our streets. That our oxen may be strong to labor. That there be no breaking in nor going out. That there be no complaining in our street. Can you believe that you can have a situation in a country where there's no complaining in the street? Shemitah prosperity. When poverty is eradicated, there will be no complaining in our streets. Everybody will be blessed. This is not millennial reno. This is here and now through Shemitah prosperity. Happy is that people that is in such a case, and happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Stand to your feet. We're in another Shemitah year now. The release has started. The manifestation of the glory of God is imminent. And this is one of the things it's going to be used for. To eradicate poverty. So that we'll have resources to preach the gospel. And power to get wealth. To establish his covenant upon the earth. This is God's purpose. This is God's purpose. This is God's purpose. Let's talk to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We now obey and serve you. We now obey and serve you.
We now obey and serve you.
According to the word of the Lord. We now obey.
We now obey.
We now obey and serve you.
Yes, Lord. We now obey and serve you according to the word of the Lord.
And we now
spend our years in pleasures and our days in prosperity.
We now obey and serve you. According to the word of the Lord.
And we
now spend
our years in
pleasures. And our days in prosperity.
Yes, we now spend our years in pleasure.
And our days in prosperity.
Help us obey and serve you.
Help us obey and serve you according to the word of the Lord.
And we shall spend
and our years in pleasures
and our days in prosperity.
Put one hand on your heart, raise the other hand to God. We're going to pray a prayer of consecration for prosperity. God wants to know if he can trust you. Let me paraphrase that. God wants you to commit so he can trust you. Hannah said to God, he said, if you give me a child, I will lend him to the Lord for all the days of his life. And God knew she was sincere. And Eli, the high priest at that time, said, go. The Lord has heard your prayer. I want to talk to God now. We're going to all pray together in a minute now. I want to tell God in your heart now, God, bless me. In this Shemitah year, and this next Shemitah cycle, between now and the next 7 years, because Shemitah years are in cycles, release me into an abundance of prosperity. In this day of the manifestation of the sons of God, and I vow, I won't use it only for selfishness, I will look after myself, but I'm going to use a lot of it to help the poor, the fatherless, the widow. Help people in their businesses. So that we will remove poverty from our midst. Lord, I commit to this plan, to this Shemitah plan. Good. Now let's pray. Say, Lord, have mercy on us. So receive your blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Your life and your power in sufficient measure as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your plan. The Shemitah plan. Of release to eradicate poverty amongst your people. Oh God, I sign up to this plan. I sign up to this plan. As you bless me, I will not be selfish. I will not be self-centered. Oh, I will help the poor. I will help the poor so that there will be no more poor amongst us. So we will have abundance to be able to preach the gospel. To finance making disciples in all nations all over the world, that I will have enough, more than enough to do the things that will please you, that there will be no complaining in our cities, in our nation Nigeria, that Lord God, that which has been spoken by the prophet will be fulfilled. and will come to pass. Lord, sign me up for your Shemitah plan in Jesus' name. Nikatolomoshele priketo fredesk. Liprekato fredesk. Loprinikatoske fredengara. Rami katoro. Mercy, Father. Celebrikitolomoshele. Laprekakamatolomotofredegas to fred. Lord Jesus, thank you. Raka kakoklo. Ramatolomotolomoshtofre. Lombriketolomotofrede. Lombridikar. Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, Father, thank you, Labrakamask. Jesus, thank you, Rabaregar. Holy Spirit, thank you, Labratofre, for your blood, Lepretofres, for your life, Jelika, for your power, Nikatolo, Rematofre, Lombridi, Lobrikatolo Mashem, Lobridik, Dobridolomotofres, Tolomotolomotofre de Glamatolomotofres, Tolomotofre de Gas, Tolomotofre, Rematofres. In Jesus' name. Maybe you are not here during the Bible study, or you're watching online. If you need healing in your body, or you need deliverance for your mind or your emotions, the Bible says he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. The Bible says as he was teaching, the power of the Lord was present to heal them. The life of God is in the air through the spoken word. The words are spirit and they are life. And I now release healing power. Just stretch forth your hand. Just if you need healing, if you're at home, stretch forth your hand towards your device. I come against the spirits of infirmity. I break your hold. I cast you out, destroy witches, and I bind you in Jesus' name. Spirits of oppression and depression, I cast you out, destroy witches, and bind you in Jesus' name. Just say, I receive my healing. I receive my deliverance now in Jesus' name. Amen. There we go. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to will be successful. Everything you set your hand to will be successful. You'll be at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live and you will not die. Yes, you will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy you and show you his salvation, even the perfection of fullness of Christ. So Lord, impart unto you the anointings of Enoch, of Abraham, Joseph, of Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Daniel, of Esther, of Paul, and of John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us, now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Turn over and say, you enter into your Shemitah year of release, into mega prosperity, and no bones are broken. In Jesus' name, amen.